TKF United.
Hello, thanks for listening to TKF United, arena talk that rocks. I'm Nick McCann, and I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go 30-plus foot height limits.
Yeah. We're tall thinkers in this on this podcast. We're also joined by Dallas McLaughlin.
I agree with Travis. Think about it. All it is really is, what, four under the Giants standing on top of each other. That's all we're asking.
Yeah. We're also joined by the breakout star of season one of TKF United, DK Aniwu.
Hello. Good evening. Hey. Let's go Padres.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah, baseball's over, man.
I'm just like, there's not such a thing anymore.
Yeah, yes. That's why we decided to focus on San Diego's other sport, moving backwards for no reason.
Rendering for 500.
The Red legislation.
Buildings that will never be built for 500.
Yeah. So yeah, this next round of stadium or arena talk that rocks is going to be focused on the Midway District and what we're going to do with it as a city. Thanks for coming on, DK. I know you've been in the middle of this since the beginning of it. It seems like, and maybe that's not true. Maybe it's always been a problem, and we're just starting to actually address it. But how has the last year of your life been with this problem?
Thanks for having me. It's always good to be back. The last year and a half, 2-3 years now going back. I think since I got involved with this Midway thing has been interesting. Last year and a half in particular, obviously with the whole reset and the redo and the re-up and the campaign and everything. But, you know, all things considered, at least tonight, I could say I'm amongst friends and life's not so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, Dallas, you wrote something about Nick Canepa this week. Mm-hmm. It's regarding the Baseball Hall of Fame voting or non-voting. And it just made me think a lot about that guy. And, you know, you really wrote a great thing. I think we were all feeling it. But, you know, he kind of represents this old way of thinking in San Diego that we are, you know, we're nothing without the NFL, and that we're just going to be stuck in this way that we are. And, you know, thanks for writing it. And how do you feel about the response? I know it's about the Hall of Fame voting, but I think it's deeper than that. For us.
I wasn't going to write anything after I saw that he turned in his ballot blank. I was just going to talk about it on the podcast, but then I read his column explaining why, and it made me so angry that I think I immediately sat down and started writing what I wrote. Because it was so clearly like just somebody who has aged out of entertainment and refuses to admit that that's true. Or what's worse is in the case of Canepa, I think he knows it's true and doesn't care who he hurts while he still has power to hurt people. Like, because that's ultimately what he's doing, especially with the Hall of Fame. I know you wanted to talk about the sports arena, and I'll tie that in, but ultimately what he's doing with this blank Hall of Fame ballot is admitting to everybody, one, I don't know anything about baseball and haven't known anything about baseball for the past 30 years. And two, every one of these people who's up for the ballot, I'm not going to let them in because I don't think that they should. And I'm going to publicly campaign for that fact. And that sucks. Give his vote to somebody who actually has paid attention to baseball in the last 30 years. Let that person vote. That person who does the research, who writes about baseball. Nick Canepa hasn't written about baseball in any meaningful sense since when? Maybe 1998? Maybe that was the last time he wrote about baseball in a meaningful sense? Like, he doesn't care about baseball. He cares about the Chargers. Give that vote to somebody who actually cares. And it pisses me off. It's the same thing with the sports arena. It's the same thing with almost every project in the city of San Diego.
Or bringing an MLS team, you know.
Or bringing MLS team,
like that's
County of San Diego. Anything. It's like they were these old guard, they, you know, well, this is the way it should be because blah, 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 and cigars. And it's like, why don't you just fucking shut up and die? I mean, we invented a disease to kill you off, and it's not working quick enough. And now, so like either do that or just be like Uncle Teddy.
Oh man,
Uncle Teddy is the best prime example of what an aging sports writer, whatever he is, commentator, should be. For the most part, Uncle Teddy is like, hey, let's do this. Let's do this. The more the merrier. Like, he's just all about...
Buy Sonic and you get Sonic for life. Like, it's a way to go out, right?
From
cheeseburgers and cheese fries and whatever slushies they have.
Well, I think with Ted Leitner, you feel like he wants San Diego to be the best it can be. And he's not holding on. It's not like he's holding on to something that's not going to come back. Or, you know what I mean? That's like
I totally agree with you. And that's what I wrote in the piece, which I think is the perfect example for this, is it's like old rich men, for the most part, will do every single thing that they can to destroy something so they don't have to understand it. And that is like what we're dealing with right now, where it's just like, how many people who are in control, not just politicians, that's like, you know, politicians are so secondary to all of this. We're talking about developers, the people who actually run the city. How many of those old rich people are sitting there making all the calls and they're just like, well, I don't want that to happen. Blah, 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 blah. And that's it. That's the end of it. Then we're all screwed. It's like, how can we all vote for something? And then they go, nah. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So that's what's infuriating me. Like the Canepa thing, all of it. It's just all these old guys who refuse to adapt, refuse. I mean, like, it's Travis and I have been talking about this for years about how old people just can't get on board with what's happening now. And it's infuriating.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he represents something that is a problem with the city and is something that, you know, I think people like DK are trying to change. I mean, you know, the last year of your experience with this, DK, where, you know, they, or I guess it's a little over a year, but they, you know, the Measure E passes and it looked like can you go through the timeline of this again? I'm always like, forgetting.
Yeah,
yeah. Great idea. I need the timeline.
I'm like trying to remember the timeline. So many.
I have
so
like many too many tabs open here.
Yeah, quick little frame. All right. So Midway community plan got updated in September 2018. And I think January of 2018, there was also some reporting about how the city was specifically not extending a bunch of leases that included the sports arena site and a bunch of other ones, about 50 acres surrounding the arena itself, the parking lot, et cetera. In February of 2020, the city put out their RFP for the redevelopment of that 48.5, call it 50 acres, on Sports Arena Boulevard. In March of 2020, this global pandemic thing showed up. In June of 2020 is when the RFP closed. August is when they selected Brookfield, they being Faulkner and his team. And then in November of 2020, after Brookfield was selected to redevelop the Sports Arena site, the Measure E thing passed at the November ballot. Then in March of 2021, we realized that the RFP process that Faulkner and company put together was invalid, and they restarted that whole process. I think that officially opened, the new beds opened, I think on October 3rd, closed December 3rd, and somewhere between, actually, I think it was on December 3rd itself, the day that the Sports Arena second wave bid process ended, is when the court ruling came out that said that Measure E was somehow illegally or improperly put for the ballot. And here we are in January of 2022 now, somehow.
And that was basically argued to a judge by a group called Save Our Access.
Save Our Access, headed up by a guy named John McNabb. They were the only, I guess you could say, organized opposition to the Yes on E campaign that we ran. I've met that guy several times. I've met some of his people, some of their ideas, quite frankly, are crazy. I don't think that he's tethered to the same plane of reality that a lot of us are. But yeah, those are the folks who put this lawsuit forward.
And can you explain, sorry, Nick.
No, go for it, yeah.
I was gonna say, can you explain for those listening and those other people on this Zoom call, what is the reasoning for not wanting this to go through? What is the point of all this?
The you know, John McNabb and these Save Our Access people, their logic, as they've presented it, at least, I don't know if they actually believe what they say or they just say this stuff because it's whatever, but what they've said publicly multiple times is that the city of San Diego is underparked, meaning we don't have enough parkland for our current population. They argue that the Midway District is a coastal region, and as such, instead of being developed for housing or anything other than house anything at all, actually, they say that the entire planning area, which is like 1,300 acres, it's like literally 1,324 acres, should be turned into a giant park. Just one giant park with no development whatsoever. And that will help somehow increase coastal access and save the coastal access that currently exists. That's the argument that they make.
And isn't he also saying that, like, it's better for lower income families to have access to the beach than to actually have lower income housing? Essentially, right?
Yeah, yeah, because they define that access as a large park.
However, so,
yeah.
So is this developers or politics?
The people who are opposing the whole misery thing, I'd say they're almost like this third rail, right? They're just this essence of subjugation, right? Like, you talk about people who just don't want to see things progress or change or develop in any way, shape, or form. I don't think they're either developers or politicians. I think they're like a memory of a fragment of a shadow of a shell of yesterday, man. Like, these people need to go away.
But, and they can... They have the power, obviously, to stop this, right?
Well, what they did is they filed a lawsuit. Anyone can file a lawsuit, right? They have enough money that they can file a lawsuit, and a judge. They got a judge to agree. And what was really interesting is the lawsuit that they filed isn't against the merit of any given project. They specifically found some loophole where, so when the 2018 community plan update, which is like this document that governs what goes where in any given community, when that got done, the 30 foot high limit was still in place, right? And so as part of this community plan update, you're supposed to do an environmental impact report about all the different changes in zoning and density and, you know, what you've allowed. Yeah. We went from like 2,000 homes or whatever to like just under 12,000. It's like an increase of like 10K units or something like that. Hmm. And so with these people, what they filed this lawsuit specifically against was that when the community plan was updated, the city opted out of basically exploring the way in which buildings taller than 30 feet would have an impact in an environmental capacity on people's views and vistas. Because the city didn't do that because technically the 30-foot high limit was still in place. And ultimately, all of the changes that they're measuring in environmental impact with respect to like traffic trips and new bodies and new densities, that was studied. And so they said realistically, like, there's no reason for us to do this thing. And that's what a judge agreed on and said, hey, when we put this Measure E thing forward, despite the fact that Measure E doesn't change anything about zoning, they just said that the city hadn't done the full extent of its required environmental, analysis. And as such, the people of San Diego didn't have the full unvarnished truth of what the impact of removing this height limit would do. So it's like, in my opinion, a very thin loophole that they found a judge to agree to.
Yeah.
But what's been, comforting in the last few weeks since all this went down is the mayor's office has kind of kicked off with like two different solutions. One, just do the environmental review, but then two, also appeal the ruling of this judge and see if it can be overturned. So that's literally where we stand today. We're kind of waiting for those two processes to play out while the city continues to negotiate with these other bidders. But yeah, it's a really tangled timeline over the last few months, but
Is the timeline over the next 90 days? What do we, or not 90 days, but like 90 days from the...
Yeah. So when it comes to this, like the height limit and then also the sports arena process, they're similar, but they're completely separate efforts, right? So this time limit around 90 days, that's the window that the city currently is in to negotiate with the different bidders for the sports arena redevelopment site. According to this whole state surplus lands act, which is the state law that the Faulkner administration did not follow, that the Gloria administration is now going along with, they have a 90-day window to basically pick one of these five different groups to go forward. And that's separate from the legal proceedings and the environmental proceedings with the 30-foot high limit that exists for the entire Midway community.
I have a question to circle back to something here.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm bizarre, and I will take that, you know, tell me I'm weird. But environmental impact has something to do with views?
Bro, no.
Like, time out here. Like, environment is like the oxygen we breathe. Like, if we're putting pollutants in the air, let's stop doing that.
Or the ground,
that
affects
our
water.
Lungs, or the ground, or if we're like killing mass species of animals and certain things. But blocking rich people on like, what is that, Mission Hills?
Mission Hills.
For you?
Yeah.
Because it's not like, I kept thinking in my mind, it's the airport, but then you look at the map and it wouldn't affect the airport at all. In fact, the buildings downtown are in much more of a direct path than anything that in the midway. So really the environmental impact report we're talking about is views. Like that's gotta be just called out for insanity. And we get out the pitchforks and torches and just say, this is ridiculous. Like, stop this. This is not environmental. You're using a word that doesn't apply and totally perverting it for lack of a better word.
Yeah, no, I think what people refer to this as is like the weaponization, right, of secret, right? So this whole reason
there you go.
Is an option, right? The whole reason that this lawsuit has any teeth whatsoever is because they filed this lawsuit under the California Environmental Quality Act, right? Which is, I think, you know, if you talk about like the letter and the spirit, I think we're all down for the spirit of CEQA, right?
Yeah.
Like the environment, water, trees, plants, all that. We're here for it. But the letter of the law, the way that the CEQA law has been written, allows for these types of formal legal proceedings to take place and stall things, right? And that's really what it boils down to. Like, I don't think that there is anyone, whether it's a developer or a politician or someone in public affairs or land use, or most people will tell you, like, I mean, even the voters, right? The voters of the city of San Diego, we won that thing, I think it was like 57% majority. That's a substantial margin for any citywide election. Everyone's down, right? The majority of us, the vast majority of us are like with it. But there's just a handful of folks who decided that, you know, they'd rather not see this community take steps forward. And it's frustrating for a number of different reasons, not just because the ludicrous sort of like loophole that they found, but you know, these people don't live in Midway. They don't work in Midway. They don't own property in Midway. You know, they don't spend time here. They haven't built anything here. What they want to do is keep this community from growing. And that's something that has, I mean, I've lived in Midway longer than I've known you guys. Right. And so like, it's just really, really, really frustrating to come to this point.
Well, I mean, I worked at SeaWorld for, I still technically work at SeaWorld. so like forever, since I was like 19, and I've been driving down in that Midway district and throughout that, we were down there since Tower Records was down there, you know. The thing that's never changed about that district, which has always desperately needed a change about that district, that in that specific area, that whole sports arena, Boulevard, what's the other street? The other long one.
Hancock, Kurtz, Rosecrans, all that?
Rosecrans. Yeah. But you know when like it splits off? So like you're going down to like SeaWorld over the bridge and it splits off.
Yeah, Ingram.
Okay. So I think that's Highland. But anyway, those two streets. But they always like, it's just like right now, it's especially in the last like 15 years, it's just become this haven for homeless people. And it's like, you can build a park here, but guess who's going to live in that park? Mm-hmm. All the homeless people until you kick them out. So no one's coming to your park to hang out because it's going to be full of homeless people. And on top of that, like being in that area for as long as I have been in that area, driving around, and I'm sure DK, you can speak to this too. You really care about the environment in that area. Why don't you walk or paddle boat over to Fiesta Island and clean up that area that nobody wants to go to? Maybe take care of some of the dead bodies that people bury on that. Like it's all to hear people care about the environment in that area and completely negate the resounding issues that exist in that area is just bullshit. It's just lip service. That's all it is. Like, how dirty is that whole area over there all the time? That water is probably terrible. Fiesta Island, nobody wants to go there unless it's like an event. You can't even get in there sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, they don't care about this. No, they care about making rich people's views better.
Yeah, and it's incredibly frustrating to have them pin out. You know, a lot of the same people who oppose the Measure E thing are the same people who complain about the homeless people being in Midway, but who are also the same people who complain about the city putting in a homeless shelter to help people transition from being homeless. It's just like, none of you have anything constructive to add to this conversation. And, you know, I think it was Bambi or whatever, where it's like, you don't have something nice to say, fuck off, right? Like, get out of here. Like,
Bambi definitely said, you know, fuck off.
Yeah, I'm sure it was one of those Disney movies. But no, I mean, that's I think, an honest like reaction as to how a lot of folks feel at this point, right? We've been through the ringer, right? Because not just the height limit, not just the sports tournament one time, now two times. I mean, just winning that campaign was a process that was years in the making. And it's just, it sucks when on the day that the sports tournament bids were being turned in is when this lawsuit ruling came back. They filed that lawsuit before we even voted, right? They tried to stop us from voting in the first place. And it took a year and a half to get to a point of decision. And like just the fact that those two dates lined up, like within a couple hours, literally, like I woke up that morning on Friday, like stoked, because it's like, all right, deadline for the bids.
Oh yeah.
And then by the time it was like 11 o'clock, 10:30, my phone starts exploding, and I was like, wait, what? So it's frustrating. It's for sure frustrating. And frankly, it's clearly not about the environment. I think the sooner we can acknowledge that and move on, like, no, these people are not operating in good faith. They're not here to be good, constructive, you know, members of society. These people need to fuck off.
Yeah. Well,
and if it was, sorry, Travis, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, what a waste of like so much human energy and, you know, that could have been directed into something that produced something useful. And I think, I don't want to bring up like an existential crisis in society, but like we recently do all this effort into promoting or building up something. And then at the last minute, when it doesn't work out, we easily drop it without consideration for all the blood, sweat, and tears that went into that production. And not to get into like a bigger discussion here, but I see it all the time recently. I mean, even with the Holiday Bowl, I mean, I can't imagine the effort that went into shifting Petco into, you know, a football arena or whatever. And all this human effort and logos and planning and hotel rooms and uniform. I mean, just so much human effort and time that just gets up at the last second. Let's just like turn it off. And it's, I don't know. I feel like humanity committing so much more with our energy than putting it into these programs, which I think is amazing. We should do something with the Midway, but for then people to be so flippantly canceling it at the last minute is just, it's wild.
And I think, yeah. I think the bigger problem when stuff like the Holiday Bowl, which, you know, is a crazy situation, and the Midway fall or the height limit, Measure E getting, stopped or whatever. You know, I think it breeds this other cynicism that younger people growing up in the city don't think that anything can ever change. And that's totally. that's really dangerous. And it's, you know, we're all going to end up like Nick Canepa, who just don't think anything's ever going to change. And we just accept that. And, you know, people like you, DK, and, you know, the group that you're with. And, you know, I think a lot of people that are really looking at city planning and what, you know, what we can actually do with this city.
What's best for the community?
Yeah, there's everybody. So much. Yeah. they want to do something with this, and I think with Measure E, it proved that it is popular. Like yeah. people,
yeah, totally.
Want to do something with this area that you know, you can go to a strip club, I guess, and you know, go to a game, but like it can be so much more. And it's obvious that the location is prime and there's a housing crisis. There's so many reasons why we have to look at this and really do something. And I don't want like people that are younger than us to just be like, so defeated by it. I think that's the bigger danger.
Well, look at like, you know, for me, it's like, we're talking about, they want to make it a park. They want to do all that stuff, but it's like the same thing. They're going to, okay, we'll make, you'll make it a park and then you'll walk away from it. I mean, how many of the parks that are around your houses are completely run down and not paid attention to? There's no money put into them after they're built. So what's the point? Mm. You look at a place like what they did with the NCC, which is whatever they call it now. Liberty Station. Yeah, sorry. If you're old, it's NCC. But Liberty Station, like, look what they did with that. You know, like, I remember when they were renovating that, me thinking to myself, oh, this is going to be a train wreck. That's one of the coolest places to go in San Diego. And what do they have there? A ton of open space.
Like huge parks.
And I'm sure, and it's one of the biggest draws for people. They go with their families, they go with their friends, but it's maintained by the people that work around there and like own the, you know, it's like, it's not just this city property that it's like, well, it's up to us. You know, like there's a reason to keep that place looking good because it's creating so much revenue and it's creating so much tourism. So it's like, I have to like think about when Soccer City and SDSU and all that shit was going down, and it's like Soccer City was like, fine, you can use our stadium. You know, we'll come to an agreement. Like we can come to an agreement here and figure this out together. And I feel like the same can be possible here, where it's like these renderings that are coming out, these developers can be like, hey, we'll give you a park. Like, let's do a park, you know, but also let's do something that's actually going to make some money. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if this doesn't, what is the potential of this going to another vote? I mean, could another version of Measure E have to go to the next, like the midterm election? I've heard some things like that, that this could end up on a ballot again. And that would suck because it's ridiculous. But I mean, is that a big fear with your group that this you would have to just do this all over again?
Yeah, I think part of what's really interesting is that there are some overlapping and underlapping like jurisdictions and like rules around exactly, because like there's like the CEQA law, right? The environmental law in and of itself, but there's also election law. And like, I am by no means a lawyer or a land use like expert analyst type person. But from what I understand, there is still some uncertainty as to whether or not the city is capable of just doing the EIR that, you know, the judge says that we haven't done yet. And like that matched up with the existing vote is good enough. Do you have to do EIR and then go revote? Like I said, the city is also appealing the decision itself. And so like, honestly, at the moment, like it's still uncertain. Like I'm still unclear as to what exactly needs to happen. I think the worst case scenario, and I think that's what we should probably be planning for because this is San Diego, right? Worst case scenario, do the EIR, take it back for another vote. The worst case scenario is that an EIR is not done in time to get on for the November 2022. Jeez. And so it goes for like the 24 primary or like some random thing, like the timing. There's not like, we're not going to do a special election for this because the city has no money for things like that, particularly since it's already been voted on. So I do think there's a fair amount of uncertainty at the moment, but best case scenario, do the EIR, we're good to go, right? And these different bidders, you know, city can move forward or somehow an appeal is done expeditiously and that gives us enough time to just move on without losing another few years. But yeah, this could definitely like drag on.
Of the plans that are competing for this though, I mean, you know, there's been some conversation on Twitter about like, you know, how big will this arena be, you know, for the plans that are offering that. I guess there's one that's not necessarily offering an arena, but you know, do you have any opinions on, or you guys too, like what this arena should be? It seems like a lot of people want it to be big enough to attract a NHL team or an NBA team if that could ever happen. Or, I mean, how do you feel about the actual arena and the size of it? Is there a debate among that? Yeah, yeah, DK, do you have a dog in that?
I think that's a fair question. I do think it should be large. And like, here's the thing, I don't love the notion of like this whole expandable thing. I think we should either pick one or the other, right? It's either going to be like below or it's going to be big enough. One of the two. I don't know that I care about this. Oh, you can have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, whatever you want. Like, I don't love that. 17.5 seems to be the minimum, 17,500 minimum for NBA, NHL stuff.
Yeah.
So that doesn't seem like it's a tremendously large number that's different from like 15,000, which is a number that gets kicked around with, I think, a few of these different ones. So if 17.5 is attainable, doable, financeable, which is obviously part of the whole thing, but like, go for that. I see no reason to hamstring ourselves or to handicap ourselves going into this conversation for the next 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Is there an NBA minimum? Is that the 17? Yeah,
it's like 17 something. Well, 17.
Yeah, the smallest one is 17.5. I don't know if that's
in the like NBA right now.
Yeah, they don't want you to build a new one if it's...
Yeah, and I don't follow that stuff closely though. Like, is that like a league rule or is that just whatever? But the smallest one is 17.5.
San Diego doesn't have a huge venue though. Don't we need that? I don't know. I feel like we do need that as being the city the size we are.
Yeah, and that's from an arena standpoint, you mean, or like
a big arena. We don't have anything close.
What does SDSU hold? The arena.
Oh, it's...
Is that 11?
Yeah, 11, it's in the low teen.
I don't know. That's a good question. I should know that.
You want me to look it up?
Yeah,
I'll get back to us.
Viejas Arena.
Viejas Arena. Excuse me. Pardon me.
Is that what it is now?
Viejas Arena. My apologies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the bigger thing for this, is, I mean, the arena is a big deal, and we should have something that's, you know, could bring bigger tours. We could even expand Comic-Con, I guess, and other conventions, but. You know, Scott Lewis wrote a piece that dropped today that was really interesting about, you know, the history of the housing crisis going back to the Second World War in the Midway District and the whole history of that. I know you got a chance to read that, DK, and I thought that was fascinating that, you know, back in that time, they were basically talking about 20,000 people using that space as a residence. And here we are. back, still trying to get 20,000 people to move back in there, you know, in some capacity. I mean, what did you think about that piece in general? Like, the, did you know the history of that, the history of the frontier neighborhood?
I only had found out about it in the last 2 or 3 weeks, you know. I think there, so since that judge's ruling got obviously publicized, there's been a lot of conversation online. I think someone posted a link to like that old reader story 2-3 weeks ago. And so I've kind of been going down the same rabbit hole as Scott has, but never have I like seen it written out so clearly in front of me. Just like for me, like I was reading that and I just kept thinking about like a hamster wheel, right? Like we're literally just repeating this cycle again and again. Like there was nothing there. People needed housing. Housing came up. Everyone hated it. People fought. It's just like it's shocking to me, like just how much of like a peon I felt like in the grand scheme of things, right? Because over the last 2 or 3 years, it did feel like we were cresting this wave, that we were actually, you know, in pursuit of some real progress. Comes to find out, you know, not only has that neighborhood already been a neighborhood before, but it was torn down and redone. And I don't know, there was just like a lot of like chagrin, I think, that I had when I was reading that, just sitting back like, man, this is wild. We literally waste so much time and resources and energy and human capital and all this stuff to be in the exact same position that we were 80 years ago.
Yeah.
That's bonkers, man.
I think I just learned something that I think we all already know, is that people from Point Loma are the problem.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, unless you're living in that neighborhood, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's us versus them.
No, but I think it really speaks to the long history of the fact that you know, to have a city of this size, you're going to have housing for people that have varying incomes, necessary jobs that, you know, that are a part of every city. And if you don't have enough housing for those people, you're going to have a huge problem. And it's something that, you know, they stomached during the Second World War, but they didn't want it to stay there. And that was, you know, I encourage everybody to go read that piece. It's on the Voice of San Diego. Scott Lewis did a great job with that. I didn't even know that much about that, the history of that region.
No, and it's wild to see, like, is it just how much history repeats itself? But I do feel as though, like, with that being brought to light, there's like even less of an excuse than there ever was to like get this done properly this next time, because like clearly something's got to change. And if it doesn't change now, then like, to your point about being jaded and cynical, I feel like that might be the point in time where I give up. But like, you know, we'll get there when we get there, if we get there.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't get there, because we got a lot of TKF Uniteds to get through it, you know. I think that's
been renewed for another season. What?
I know. I think that's what are we calling it, Dallas? Midway Mania.
Midway Mania, man.
Yeah.
One of the longest lines of California Adventure, Midway Mania.
Yeah.
That's a great metaphor for this whole thing. It takes forever to get into Midway Mania, and it takes forever for anything to happen in the Midway District in San Diego. You're welcome. That's a Disney San Diego tie-in. You're welcome.
Well, this podcast has been a California adventure in itself, I think.
Yeah. So. DJ, when are you going to run for office, man?
Sorry, what? I don't know. Breaking up.
When are you going to run for office?
Probably not. Not unless I have to.
Come on, I did it.
I mean, what'd you learn? Where'd you learn?
I learned not to do it in 2020. I should wait.
Fair enough.
Until people stop yelling at me for running for the water district and ask me about my thoughts on abortion, because that's very important when it comes to the water district. Yeah, people are crazy. But I mean, I just think you have a very I think you have a really good perspective on what's happening in that district, and sometimes that's what it takes for progress to happen, is young thinkers to make their way into legislation. That's all I'm saying. Don't be offended by that.
I thought all you need to do is be able to lip sync and dance a little bit through your office, but maybe I'm mistaken.
I appreciate it. I don't plan on running for office, but I mean, honestly, there's some days where I'm like, look, man, if that's what needs to happen to like actually get some things over the line, then we might have to look at that. Because I'm sick of this shit, I'll be honest.
Yeah, or what's a better way to get stuff done?
The right answer, DK, is I'm more powerful now. That's yes. One citizen, one voice.
That's I didn't sell out. I bought in.
All right. Well, you know, let's just support the Midway as it is now. You know, go check out Bay City Brewing and go to a Pechanga Arena event if it's mm-hmm. safe. You know,
Bondi's back open.
Yeah. So, DK, is there anything you want to promote as far as the Midway Planning Group or any kind of, is there a website that we can?
Yeah, we do have a website. So, I don't think we talked about it at the top, but so not only do I do soccer things and stadium things, but I'm the vice chair of the Midway Planning Group.
Right. Sorry.
I know all this stuff.
Oh, see, he's running for office.
our website is, I think, what, mphcpg.com. That's Midway Pacific Highway Community Planning Group, an acronym. .com. Yeah. We got a Twitter account that says the same thing, MPHCPG. And I don't know, we're around. Obviously, we didn't really talk too much about the arenas themselves, like the different bids, but we can get into those on next episode or whenever.
Sure.
I'm around.
Yeah, I mean, does the group have a horse in that race? Is there anything one that you're leaning towards? We should.
Definitely not formally as a group. I think there are individuals who make up the group who have personal favorites. I know I do. I don't know if I'm going to say mine right here while I'm the buttons on. Yeah. But what's interesting right now is that from what I gather, like I said, at this moment, the five different groups are all having meetings with the city. It's not like a formal interview just yet. It's not like a formal thing, but like they're in their 90-day window. And at the end of the day, I think what the position that we all have at the planning group is, whichever group gets selected, like they're going to have to work with us and we're going to have to work with them. So I think we'll sit back and kind of defer to the mayor's office on this one and see what he gives us.
All righty. Well, we'll be checking in on this throughout the next 90 days, I guess, you know, because, you know, baseball isn't really happening. So this is our.
Like, I've heard nothing. Right? Yeah, there's been no talk of any kind.
Maybe that's better. I don't know.
Except again from my season tick representative.
Cool. Ooh. All right. Well, let's do this again. Maybe we can talk to some people that are representing some of the plans throughout the next 90 days and get some pitches from people and see what they're all about.
You know? Yeah, I've got contact info. We can definitely set that up.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening to the first episode of TKF United Season 3 Midway Mania.
Madness.
Rising.
Mayhem. Wait,
no, we can't call it Midway Rising because that's too partisan towards one of the groups.
Lovely renderings, I will say.
Just living my life between renderings, man. That's what I'm doing.
Hey, right. I think we should go Dubai style and just build something on that Midway area that is taller than that Dubai building. Just to go building. Right, like just forget about your 30 feet. We're gonna go like 2,000 feet.
Pull of Dubai and just start building islands.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's. I mean,
it gets us over that whole sea level rise thing, lickety split.
Wait, guys. Wait. The lower income people of Dubai need access to those fake islands. They can't live there. They need to be able to get there. Yeah. Anyway,
and what's funny is Fiesta Island is a fake island, and we could keep talking about this environmental thing. But looking at the picture on your website, like that whole area is a swamp.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's not a bay. It's none of those things. They drudged it and made it what it is. So the environmental thing is just so.
Whacked. I can show you, Travis, on my hand. One hand, how many times I've driven by and seen somebody enjoying the water over there. One hand, I can show you that.
Yeah, it's like the runoff from the San Diego River. That's where it comes and ends. That's
and
what
whatever
that
else happens over there. It's the runoff from all of that. It's the runoff from Ombak.
Deep breaths. Mindfulness time. Here we go.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to TKF United Season 3 Midway Mania. We'll see you next time. Keep the faith in our city.
Yeah.
See ya.
TKF United.